Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light of life. The Bible's hands go, the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Today we'll be studying Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I have titled this section, Doctor's Orders. Have you ever been given doctor's orders and you liked them or you didn't like them, but you realized that if you were going to do anything, if you're going to live any longer, you better abide by those orders? Well, that's the thought in today's passage of Colossians 3, 14 and 15. Let me encourage you to have pencil and paper ready. Also to call your friends and ask them to listen in as well. We want you to take good notes, have your King James Bible, and follow along with us as we go verse by verse through this great passage of Scripture. Now in Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we read this, "And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." A man goes to the doctor, and there's a pain that has persisted. Perhaps it's in his chest. Maybe it's his midsection. After the examination is complete, the doctor says, "You've got to quit eating," and he proceeds to tell you to quit eating everything that you've ever enjoyed. Then he puts you on a diet of food, vitamins, and exercise, none of those things which you would choose to do on your own. However, the consequences of not doing what he tells you is that the gophers are bringing your mail. You're pulling turnip from underneath, okay, about 6 feet underneath. And so you begin, and you do it all, and shortly, you begin feeling better. After a while, you feel better than you have felt in years, and you look better. You don't ever want to feel the pain that you carried for months, maybe even years. You don't ever want to carry that pain again. And so you now stick with that diet. You now have regained a gleam in your eye. You have a spring in your step. And so that stuff that you enjoyed so much before, now you hate it because you know the consequences of those things almost killed you. Now, as in the illustration, men enjoy their sin, but they're called to repent. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord." You're on a diet of God's word, prayer, and service to Him, which you never desired to do on your own. But now your life is cleaned up. You're no longer living with that pain in your chest or midsection, the pain of guilt, the pain of hopelessness, and sin's consequences. You look better to the point no one would be ashamed to be with you, especially if the Lord were to come back. Now, if you'll remember, back in verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9, we were told to stop a diet that was destroying our spiritual health and leading to death. There we read, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. But now put ye also off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So those were the things that we're to put off from our life. But then we were also given a new diet, things to add. And in verses 12 and 13, he said, put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So now we have some things that we should put on and exercise ourselves in these things. And that leads to our text. Our text gives us the orders of Dr. Jesus Christ, the great physician, our Lord and God. In verse 14, he said, above all things. Now remember, he said in verse 12, put on. And that term put on, we told you, was in the Greek aorist imperative, which simply means an urgent command that must be obeyed immediately. And we were to immediately obey the commands of verses 12 and 13. Also remember, in verse 8, the term put off was used. In the Greek, it had the idea of putting off as you'd put off an old, rotten, torn, smelly, filthy garment that we not only put off, but we throw away. But God does not leave us naked. And so we have the beautiful and elegant clothing of verses 12 and 13, the mercies, the kindness, the humbleness of mind, the meekness, the long-suffering, the forgiving and the forbearing of one another. And so he says, above all of these things in our text here, now, as we look at verse 14 of Colossians 3, above all these things has the idea of on top of all these things, or upon these things. In other words, you're still getting dressed. The covering garment, the coat, the suit, the dress robe, you might say. In other words, this is what you put on top of all these things that you've been putting on. And what is that that we're to put on? It is charity. Now, the word charity here comes from the Greek word agape, which is God's love. It's a love that's produced in the heart of the believer. And we're to put that on as the outer garment. That word there has the idea of an unselfish, self-sacrificing concern, a true, from the heart love. You see, charity begins in the heart. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All mercy, all kindnesses, all long-suffering, etc., all those things in verses 12 and 13 should be well covered in charity, or in love, agape. This is the outer garment. But why is this called the outer garment? Because God looketh at the heart, but man sees only the outward appearance. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said to love one another. As, in other words, in like manner, as he had loved us. And he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now, since it's this love for one another would be a testimony to the world that we're disciples of Christ, therefore, agape is the outer garment. This is why we should never, ever say anything derogatory about another Christian, especially in front of the world. By the way, let me just give you this warning. Many times I'll go into eat in a restaurant, and from time to time, and especially if it's church day, you'll hear Christians. And they're talking, and sometimes they might be running down a musician, a preacher, another person in the church, and or a program of the church. What a shame that is. Because there are people in the world that are sitting around, and they hear those conversations. And admit it, how many times have you sat in a restaurant and you've listened to conversations of other tables? It might be about sports, it might be about their job, but you've heard it. And here they are, Christians, running down other Christians. The exact opposite of Christ's command in John 13, 34 and 35. Oh, watch what you say in front of the world. You see, when we do these things, we are no better than the world. And that's the way they see it. And therefore, They don't want a God that doesn't make them any better than what you are, because you are no better than what they are. Love is both the basis and the cloak of all graces. Putting on love is the bond of perfectness. Now, when he uses that term here in our text, basically, in verse 14, by the way, bond is a Greek word meaning that which binds together. Taking all the virtues in verses 12 and 13, love binds them together. And that perfection is the result. And so not one of them is wanting to that perfection. Not one of them is lacking. For an example, a lady may make cookies and make them taste very good. But if they don't have chocolate chips in them, then they're short of perfection. Now, of course, now I'm speaking out of my own desire. I love soft and chewy chocolate chip cookies. And a cookie may be soft and chewy, but to me, if it doesn't have chocolate chips in it, then my friend, it's not a complete cookie. It's not perfect. Same way with the cake. You have too much of one ingredient, you do not have enough of another. It's not mixed thoroughly enough, or it's not cooked long enough. And you may try to be nice to the hostess, saying that you're trying to watch your calories, but the truth of the matter is, there's something missing. Well, love is the ingredient and the heat that bakes to a great taste, the pan that forms it, the mixer that mixes it to a perfect blend. That is the testimony of a Christian in this present world. And as we're told to taste and see that the Lord is good, we should reflect that taste to the world. Love is that bonding of perfectness. Now, perfectness is defined here as completeness, full growth, maturity, good working order. The Greek lexicon tells us that it is stressing the actual accomplishment with the end in view. Now, this is not talking about, when he says perfectness, of sinlessness. It's a different Greek word. The Greek word for sinlessness is anamartesia. That word is never used in the New Testament, as a matter of fact. There's only an adjective of the word that is used, and that is only one time in the New Testament. And that's in John chapter 8, 7, where it says, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." Some people, they'll come into a church, they'll make a lot of noise. Oh, and they seem to be very fundamental, and they'll work, and then they're gone. It's kind of like a siren that you might hear on Sunday morning. You're in the middle of church service, and a fire engine comes by, and the siren is blaring loudly. And all you have to do is pause for a few seconds, and it will pass, and you can go on. And you see, so often that's the way some of these people are. And they'll leave, and they say, "Well, it just wasn't fundamental enough for me." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible.